We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
It's like, I was like, what person, what aura is that? But you're like, oh, it's almost harder to make the decision because you're like, I never feel too bad in one place, if that makes sense. You know?
I think that's lovely. Great. How does it feel to be God's chosen one?
I don't know. I don't know.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Finding Mr. Height, the podcast. I am Allie Jackson.
And I'm Erica Spira.
I am so excited for this week. We had what just felt like a friends catching up chat with our friend Julia from the Pretty Much Done pod. Like, we got to the topic and we had some great conversations, but like, it just kind of felt like she was just the co-host of the pod. It was so fun.
Yeah, you could tell she hosts her own podcast. She's very, very conversational and asks some good questions. So always excited to talk to her. She's a good time.
Yeah, it was great. We talked about a lot of different stuff. And then, you know, kind of with the focus on the hyper-independence topic that we had posted about, got some questions from the listeners. So excited to get to her after we chat updates.
Yeah, and she's someone that essentially did the move to a different city. See if it's any better dating, living-wise, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're someone that's thinking about leaving LA, maybe this is a perfect episode for you too.
Totally. So before we get into updates and things, speaking about episodes, et cetera, we have one piece of feedback and one update. Okay. So the listener who wrote in about the guy who ghosted her, and she was asking, should I give this guy a second chance? And he reached out to her on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she says, an update on the LinkedIn guy. I did check his LinkedIn for accuracy and it didn't match up.
Oh, see? Big flag. Sorry.
Yeah. Some background for this. Well, he was a former coworker and disappeared from work. No call, no show, just left. So he fucking ghosted his employer. That was my own. She didn't write that. I'm saying that.
Yeah. So he didn't put in a notice, just no. MIA.
Just never showed up again. And then she said, seems like that's his go-to behavior when he doesn't want to face something.
No kidding. Yep. Can't even send an email.
So she said she decided not to move forward with the second date.
Well, I said, check that LinkedIn for accuracy. He's, you know, it's right there.
Yeah, truly. So thank you for the update. We love the updates and happy to know that we have some more information on this man and you should not give him a second chance. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a proceed with caution. So I support this decision. If you're like, you know what? Not worth it. Don't have a good vibe.
100%. I get it.
But thank you for the update. I enjoy getting these.
Oh, we love the updates. We really do. And then the second thing that we got sent in was a little bit of feedback. And that was about the conversation we were having about intimacy and how you were looking for intimacy. And I was like, no. And she said... So this listener says, I would say you guys perfectly distinguish the difference between a type of romantic attraction versus sexual attraction. As an asexual trying to date, it's so hard to try and communicate the different levels of intimacy and connection. I just want to cuddle on the couch with that special someone, and I wish the fast forward was possible because I'm too tired of all the first dates. So I'm glad to hear that other people feel this too.
Absolutely. Or it's like, there's some chatter in the Discord about this too. So shout out to them. But like, for me, it's almost like, if you don't have what feels like that intimate connection, then you're just completely uninterested.
Yeah.
In anything sexual.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'll try. And then when it's not there, I'm like, yeah, I'm out. Never mind. Mood killed. And it's not anyone's fault necessarily.
Yeah. But I'm glad people appreciated the discussion.
Yeah. So someone gave a shout out to this phrase. I think it was on the Patreon. Horny for love.
I love it.
Which I really liked. I mean, intimacy, love. I'm like, I think that's interchangeable. And shout out to Nicole Byer, who's a comic. She talks about that on her show, apparently, which she's very, very funny. And I was like, that nails it. Horny for love. That nails it.
Yep.
So sometimes you're just horny for love.
Yeah, I totally agree. Not currently, I guess, but yeah. Generally.
But sometimes.
I understand as a concept.
Right. Or like I said, sometimes it flips where if you are in a relationship and you are more having like those that intimate type of sex, there's the days where you're like, babe, you know, I love you and I love that you're very sweet. But can we like crank this up a notch? And you don't know like a polite way to ask for that when they're like, but I love you. You're like, yes, it's very, like, so great that you love me, but love me differently today, please.
Yes. Love me a little harder today.
A little harder.
Love me really hard today. Thank you.
I would like some rough love, if you know what I mean. So, anyway, speaking of love, I have a fun little update for the listeners here. So we had our shows in DC, which were awesome. Officially, this is the real update.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah. Last week we just knew they would be. This week we were like, no, they were.
They were really, really great.
DC is such a fun time. Like that crowd was amazing. And you said the same thing about your shows too.
Yeah, because what's great about a lot of cities, but especially DC, is like people are in tune to certain like topics, or they're down. I was really lucky. A lot of the crowds were very cool with. I asked them if I could like work on a couple new jokes.
Oh, awesome.
And they were very like non-judgmental, as like, listen, some of these you're trying to work it out, you're trying to get to whatever it is at the point you're trying to hint at. But no, yep. Really, I easily see why so many comedians like film specials in DC, because they're just some of the best crowds. So shout out to all of you. And also shout out to the people that were very friendly and like made friends and sat with other people that maybe came alone. Like, so proud. So proud of the listeners.
Yeah. Agreed.
Anyway, so I had, long story short, I had a friend, childhood friend, that I had not seen in a long time. So I didn't even like realize who it was that I was talking to after the show. And I mentioned him on the Patreon. And then this week I followed up with them being like, hey, would you by chance be open to being set up? Like, I talked about you, a couple women reached out, interested, that live in DC. So I feel like I'll give them a shout out here. We have our little setups email anyway. So if you are interested, it's fmhsetups@gmail.com. Send like a screen recording or pictures of your dating profile or a couple photos and a little blurb about yourself, you know, as you would do. All right. So yeah. I got
amazing,
two guys.
He's down.
Yeah, well, actually, now I have two guys. I reached out to another friend. I did. I reached out to a high school friend of mine that couldn't make the show that I thought of. And I was like, he's great, too. Like, might as well throw it out there. Like, hey, man, I know some women in D.C. if you're open to being set up. Like, I don't know if you're single or, you know, what's new. Because he was trying to come, so we were, you know, catching up. Anyway, so I have two guys. So, first guy is turning 35 soon. He's like 2 years older than me.
Great.
Originally from upstate New York. He... He's very smart, went to Yale, then did PhD at Cornell. I looked it up. Works in something along the lines of like data and analytics. Very bright, very smart. He is tall, ladies, if you're a tall gal. All right, there's an extra bonus in there. But obviously, it's not the most important thing. But yeah, great teeth. You know I like teeth. I'll give a shout out to you, teeth.
You love teeth. I knew teeth was going to make the list. And if it didn't make the list, I was like, oh no, he's got bad teeth.
No. Great teeth. Great smile. You know. And definitely kept wearing his retainers. So shout out to that discipline. Here's the caveat to this man, though.
Okay.
Okay. I will say, I think he's a self-aware king. All right. Because I reached out and he said, yes, I'm open to being set up. However, I did recently get out of something a couple weeks ago. So I might just need like a few more weeks. So if you email us, there might just be a little delay on my setup here. But I like that he was aware, like, I just got out of something. I'm kind of, like, need a minute before being set up again. So, preemptively, email for this guy. And I'll say his name. I don't care. His name's Antonio. So he's also a nice Italian boy if you're Italian, whatever, Catholic, etc.
I love it.
Yes. So that's one friend of mine. My other friend graduated high school with me. Also very smart. Was in, like, the top 10 or top 20 of the class. He went to GW, which is a really great school. And he's essentially stayed down there since then. And he originally was in something kind of politics related. I'll be honest, I'm unsure if he's still in that field right now. But he's very easy to talk to, very nice. He is not as tall as the other one. I believe he's like about 5'10", 5'9". Okay, oh. Just a heads up.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's also great. I know his whole family too. Both really nice guys, and his name is Derek. So I got Antonio and I got Derek, if you would like to be set up. And then one other person DM'd me about my friend Colin that was on my story. So Colin is very similar to Derek, works in the incredible politics space. Yeah, works in the politics space, went to University of Albany, did grad school in DC, has stayed down there. Also a great person, and is a year older. So I have three potential men if you're a DC gal and you're interested in being set up. So send along your info, fmhsetups@gmail.com.
Please do. Please do.
So that's unfortunately all I got for updates, though.
But, no, you know, listeners, in LA.
I'm talking to a handful of people on Hinge. Hinge has surprisingly been a lot better for me this time around.
I was going to say, because that hadn't been the case before.
No, and I think a lot of it was just the industry was so dead. And it feels like everyone's job is related to industry stuff. But also, I don't know if you can have this if you have free Hinge. I paid for like 2 months. There's like several categories now. Like,
oh,
there's
yeah,
most
yeah.
compatible, which I remember asking you and you were like, there's no rhyme or reason to most compatible.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I actually feel like most compatible is purposefully upsetting.
Well, the worst is when you get the notification to specifically go check someone out. That you're like, okay, what made this, you pair us?
This was a push notification person?
Yeah. To you're push like, notification you, someone feels rough.
You must see this person.
Yeah, you must see them. And then you're like, most compatible. They don't even want kids. You're like, basic compatibility here of what we have on our profile.
I feel like my most compatible are always people that have like absurd pictures, like the guy that's wearing like the teeny little shorts and the thin strap tank top at the gym in every single one of his photos, or like the guy whose face isn't visible in any of his photos. Like, those are the most compatible people that I am receiving.
Yeah, it's always something crazy. I sent you a screenshot of a profile,
yes,
or a video that they blocked their face in every photo with
cheating,
taking whatever mirror photos of themselves. Just so I was like, what are you hiding from? I mean, what is this?
I mean, it is really difficult, remember? I'm really bad at that. But yeah. Yeah, super shady. Okay, so Hinge.
Okay. Yeah, so Hinge coming through, but my strategy's been I mainly have been sticking in the they have two categories, active today and new here. And that's actually where I've been sending most of my likes. And I think that has something to do with why I'm having some more success with matches. So I don't have these profiles that, like, who knows how long they've been sitting there.
Yeah. I'm glad we had this conversation again, because I meant to do this and completely forgot on my Hinge, which has been an absolute wasteland recently. Mm.
Do what? Like, swipe in a different category?
Yeah, yeah. Like, do the new here or the those things.
Active.
So I'm going to do this. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll report back.
And, this is the first time they've done this. There's a nearby category, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I don't know if that helps with like people see you pop up and they're like, oh, and you're close. Okay.
Perfect.
I don't know if that gives you more points. No idea. But because, to be honest, in terms of incoming likes on Hinge, it's still pretty dead for me.
Nothing. No. Great.
But I'm like,
glad we're in this
I
together.
Paid to upgrade. I know. So I'm like, I paid to upgrade.
Did you ever use the dating app Happn? HPPN?
Oh, no, I think I downloaded it. Forever ago. I
misspelled it even then. HAPPN.
Yeah, where it's the E's taken out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've tried that. That's supposed to be where you're in the vicinity, right?
Yeah. It reminded me when you said the nearby thing, because I hadn't thought about that app in years. Like, I remember the apartment that I lived in when I used it. It was like three apartments ago. So it must have been like 7 years ago as I first moved to Brooklyn. And it was, it's in the vicinity. So it's like, people that the concept's interesting. It's like people that you pass by on your commute all the time. It'll be like, oh, you're often in the same vicinity as this guy.
Right. Kind of or thing. Like you both were at this bar. So maybe you have similar interests or something. Yeah.
But it got so specific that I would open it and see that a guy had liked me and he was like 250 feet away and I was at home.
Oh, that's funny.
Where is he?
You're like, what floor? Yeah.
And it got like a little creepy to the point where I didn't even have any success on it. So it didn't matter. But I deleted it because I was like, I can't. This is too much. It's too specific. Yeah.
Too close to home. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. So I recently actually, though, saw an Instagram ad for it like yesterday. So I guess they're still around trying to make happen happen.
Try to make happen happen. Yeah. I don't know. I've never tried. That's definitely one I've never heard anybody use. So
yeah, I wouldn't
or with success
it.
Anyway.
Yeah. The concept is interesting, but I don't think so.
But what about you? You had a third date?
I had a third date with Mr. Worldwide.
Also, a happy belated birthday officially on the pod.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, happy birthday.
Thank you, thank you. So I had a dinner date with him. Originally, I was thinking that maybe I would invite him along to a museum outing that I was doing with a couple of friends. Went to the Museum of Illusions, which was really fun. You told me this before I went, and you were correct. It is a small museum. Mm-hmm. It was like maybe 45 minutes, an hour we spent in there, but like a fun, like little pre-dinner activity, like could be a good like dinner date accompaniment.
Yeah. Fun fact. I went there with Eggs Benedict the day we broke up.
So fun.
Like unplanned nearby, having a fun day. And then after that, we broke up. So
boom.
He did not like the illusions.
This relationship is an illusion. Goodbye.
Yeah. Funny, on that point of magic, I will disappear. So
I will now disappear into the ether.
Yeah.
So I did invite him to come. He had to work later than we were going, so we couldn't do that. But we met up for dinner after, and it was really fun. We went to this place called Bangkok Supper Club that not only had like amazing Thai food, but also really fun cocktails. And I just like – I really appreciate how good he is at setting out a plan for an evening and like following up on that plan, not just with me to be like, hey, it's this time or whatever, but also it's so small, but like doing things that are going to make the night a success. Like,
yes,
we couldn't get a reservation until 9, which was a little bit later than we wanted. He was like, you know what? I'll show up a little bit early and just see if they have tables available and like wait.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, just really nice. Great. Stuff like that.
Yes, thoughtful. He had a thought, as we said in DC.
He had a thought, as we said at the DC show. He had a thought, and then he acted on that thought.
And the thought was not about him. So how about that, ladies? It's out there.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it. It was good. We chatted about like a lot of different things, you know, nothing like of major note. Something interestingly that I want to ask him on our fourth date, which, spoiler alert, we're going on a fourth date this week.
Oh, yes. Exciting.
Yeah. Something that I want to ask him is how he feels about kids, because we haven't had that conversation. It hasn't come up.
Mm, yeah, fair.
And he is a little bit older. So if he does want kids, or like if he – like for him, it might be something he's more like short-term thinking about if he does.
Right. Like if you do in a 5-year plan, when do you see that happening?
Yeah. Exactly. So, or maybe he doesn't want them. I don't know. We've never discussed it. So that's something that I want to like, usually, honestly, by now, usually it's come up organically one way or another,
mm-hmm.
and it just hasn't. So I do want to ask him that when we go out this week.
All right. I got to ask you though, do you at all feel inclined to ask the question because you're kind of unsure of your feelings about him as a whole?
I think I would want to regardless, because I think it's like, I'm thinking about if I didn't like him at all, I wouldn't be dating him anymore. But I'm thinking about if I really did like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd still want to, because I wouldn't want to continue to really like someone if it was going to turn out that we weren't aligned. So I think it's both. Like, it's like, I'm still kind of figuring out if, you know, whatever, if the slow burn is going to grow, whatever that is. And it could be a moot point. For this, like, we've talked about, like, a lot of other values-related things that are important to me.
Like, does he
want to
stay in New York City?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a win.
Yeah, he loves it here. And so stuff like that we have talked about. This is, like, the one thing. I'm sure there's other things. This is the one major, major thing that we have not discussed, and I want to do that this week.
I got to be honest. That makes me feel like it's probably a no.
I think so too, actually, because in my experience, every guy that I've ever been out with more recently, like since I've been in my 30s and been dating men in their 30s and 40s, every guy that I've been out with who did want kids brought it up really soon.
Yeah, and especially I've seen a trend with men once they're financially very stable and making whatever amount of money in their head was, you know, reasonable to then have children, then they're very like, okay, I can do it.
and now we should do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I haven't experienced going on this many dates with someone who ended up really wanting them, like hard deal breaker, really, really 100% wanted them and hadn't brought it up yet.
Yeah.
So no, I think you're right. I've seen the same trend. I think he's probably, if I had to guess, I think he's either in my camp or he doesn't want them. Mm-hmm. But we'll find out. We'll talk about it this week.
Yeah, that's good. What's your, I mean, I guess you probably don't want to say where, or maybe you want to say where?
No, well, it'll have happened by the time this comes out. So at the end of our third date, this will be our fourth date. At the end of our third date, when we went to the Thai place, he actually booked an Uber for both of us, which I thought was nice. Like he like dropped himself off, like had himself as a stop. He lives in Manhattan. And then like it carried me on to Brooklyn. Actually mentioned, he like asked me if it would be okay, like if I felt comfortable putting my address in for him to do that. He's like, I'd love to get you an Uber home, but like I understand if you don't feel comfortable like putting that in. I'm like, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you know that that's a safety
concern.
You're
aware. Yeah. Aware of women's safety.
Yeah. You have a thought.
Yeah. Have a thought. Look at that.
So I appreciated that. So we did that. And then I had texted him when I got home. And then we were going back and forth a little. And he requested a non-school night date night for our next date.
Mm-hmm.
It's because previously, like we've had dinner dates that are really fun, but like obviously both of us have to work the next day or whatever it is. And so we've been very like, you know, all right, we're going to dinner and then we're going home versus, you know, maybe we get a nightcap, extend the night, whatever. So he requested that. However, he is going on a 2-week trip this weekend. He's leaving on Saturday.
Oh.
And so I asked him, but we were going to DC and I was like, all right, like, let me like look at my week, et cetera. You know, we're off the DC, all that stuff. And so when we got back from DC, I texted him and asked if he would be prepared enough for his trip to go out with me on Friday, even though he's leaving for this 2-week trip on Saturday. And he said, yes.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm more curious. I'm like, I feel like he's going to make a move to at least kiss you if he wants a non-school night date, you know?
I assume so. I assume that was part of the...
Like you gotta. Yeah.
I would assume so. Yeah. So yeah. So, and then what I also, again, really liked is I technically quote unquote asked him out, right? I was like, all right, how about Friday? Let's go out. And then he immediately took the reins from there, found a place, made a reservation, sent it to me, like said, what do you think about this place? Great. We have a reservation at 8.
I love it. Sounds great.
Me too. Okay. So we're going to a steakhouse, looks amazing. Carne Mar.
Oh, I've never tried that one.
Yeah, it's like steak and seafood, as the name suggests. But when I opened the like Yelp page or whatever, one of the first pictures was this amazing looking scallop dish that I will be getting.
Oh yeah,
and I'm very excited for the date as well, not just the dinner.
Hey, you know, nice dinners added a bonus.
Absolutely.
Good. Yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we're recording Patreon the very next day. So the patrons are going to get, by the time you're hearing this, the patrons already know how it went.
Yeah. But also, what's the update on Montana Boy?
Oh, so Montana Boy, I did end up inviting him to my birthday party, as previously discussed. And I individually invited him. So previously, I had like sent the invite in the like larger tournament group chat of all the people that had played in that tournament, in both tournaments. But he and I have been kind of flirty texting a little bit off and on. And so I individually was like, hey, I don't know if you saw in the other chat, but like having my birthday party this weekend, you know, a bunch of people are coming like from the tournament, whatever, people you'll know, and you should come by. And he did.
Nice.
And it was really fun. I got into more details on the Patreon per usual, but it was really fun. And the way that I had been thinking about it in terms of like him knowing other people there really worked out the way I thought it would, where in addition to the fact that I think he's a guy that could probably mix into a lot of groups regardless, he did know people there already. And so that was like, it was just easy. Yeah, it was easy.
Yeah, super easy. I get it.
Yeah, so that was really fun. And I haven't talked to him this week. I think it'll truly be a, you know, once in a blue moon. I'll sending a flirty text here and there if there's an event and, you know, kind of a little fun thing.
Yeah, who knows? a fun time.
Who knows? Exactly. Yeah. Fun time, Montana boy. So, but yeah, so it was a good week with our DC shows and our, and my birthday party and my date with Mr. Worldwide. Just, had a good run.
Not bad. I was going to say, how are you feeling with apps, dude? Are you still feeling kind of like, eh, on activity?
Nothing. There's nothing.
Like nothing motivating you to do it? Or you mean you just don't feel like any matches coming through that you're like,
I think it's
about?
Maybe both, but like one is affecting the other. So like I'm getting nothing and therefore I'm like, well, fuck this.
Yeah. Been there. Been there, dude.
Yeah. So Bumble, I need to go. I have a few matches in Bumble that came through earlier today that I need to go send some messages. Hinge, I'm going to use your method. I'll report back next week on the pod.
Okay.
About your nearby and, or sorry, active today and new here method. I'm going into the city for volleyball tonight, so I'll open my Bumble when I'm in the city.
I've done that move. You're like, let me do a mile radius in a new neighborhood.
See what comes little up. Bait and switch. Hey, I'm in Manhattan. No, I'm not.
Yeah. Who cares? You know?
No, it's I mean, nice people going for work all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there are a lot of people that, I mean, people that I know who live in Manhattan and set their radius so that they don't get where I live.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So, but, you know, once they meet me and love me, it won't matter.
I mean, pretty much, honestly. I think everybody feels that way. You're like,
yeah,
oh,
truly.
I'll at least go on one date. We'll see how it is.
Yeah. Also, because where I live, like, people in Manhattan are just fussy.
Oh, I
like
know.
They think that Brooklyn is the end of the earth. And I'm like, you're going to make it. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. Everyone, we'll all live, you know?
Yeah. When I first moved to Brooklyn, I lived in downtown Brooklyn, which is like practically can't even call itself Brooklyn.
Yeah. And you got ferries and subways.
Yeah. And the bridge is right there. Like literally I could see Manhattan and still my friends were like, oh, Brooklyn, I'm going to come to Brooklyn.
Yeah. No. People are snobby about it. I mean, trust me, I'm experiencing that in LA too. That it's like,
oh yeah, that makes sense.
Or that's why people don't want to meet up at night. And it's so funny because it's like, listen, if the drive was 20 minutes, then suddenly an hour, I get it. But it drives me crazy when it's like, so the 20 minute drive is now a half hour drive and it's too much traffic for everybody. Okay.
Yeah. People are babies.
Yeah. Get over it, guys. Put on a podcast.
Get over it.
Put on a podcast and drive.
Truly. Yeah. So yeah, those are my updates, and I'll be back next week with the fourth date update.
Yeah.
I also think I'm going to do, I was just thinking about this, I think I'm going to do a video about him post the fourth date.
Yeah, you mentioned that before, just doing like kind of overall roundups.
Yeah. I forgot to film at all on our second date. So
probably having a good time.
Yeah. So, and third date, like a little bit, but like not really. So
do you feel like you're going to ask him if he's like cool with you posting it? Does he know?
He already knows
about the show. No, oh,
he already knows. Yeah.
Well then there you go. Green light.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, on that note, I think we got to get to our guest for today.
We do. I'm so excited. So today we have Julia Mazur. She hosts the Pretty Much Done podcast, which we've been on and was so fun. And so we invited her to come on our show and chat about a lot of things, but in particular, hyper-independence.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I always love talking to her. And I think you guys are going to really enjoy this episode. So without further ado, let's get to Julia.
Here we go. So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
It's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And we are back with Julia. Hi, Julia. Welcome to Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here. It's been so long for us.
I know. We became, I don't know when we were on your pod, about a year ago, almost.
Yeah.
We've kept in touch since.
Has it been that long?
I think so. I want to tell you guys that it's the most listened to episode on my podcast.
What?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Thank you. Yeah. How fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah. People loved our episode. So if anyone hasn't listened, they need to listen.
Yeah. So yeah, you host Pretty Much Done, the podcast that we were on. Shit, I can't believe that was a year ago. And we had a great time. So we're so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. I'm really excited.
So a little background for the listeners here. You have actively done something I feel like a lot of people threaten to do or say they want to do, which is move cities. Yeah. And the purpose wasn't to date in another city. However, somewhat related that you went through a breakup. And can you walk us through kind of what brought you to decide to move from LA to Austin, Texas?
Totally. So I'm from LA. I was born and raised. I only left for grad school for a year. I never really left LA. I was dating someone this summer when I interviewed you guys. He was living in Atlanta. And so it was the first taste of, I think I could leave LA. I feel like I had spent my time in LA. And I don't know if this has happened for you guys, but either my friends that I grew up with got married and had kids, or I was like fifth wheeling on dates. Yeah. And I was like, I feel like I don't belong here anymore. I feel like it's my time. And so I was seeing someone this summer. Literally, it didn't work out for like a multitude of reasons. And we break up. The next day, I find myself looking at short-term rentals in Austin. And I had already been like, Austin was on my radar. My best friend moved here in COVID. I was like, let me just like dip my toe. And so I'm on Zillow looking at short-term rentals. I find one rental that I like. And it was a little bit more than my mortgage in LA. And so I wrote to the couple and I was like, love your place. Super cute. I'm 30. I own my place. I'm super responsible. Is there any flexibility on the price? And they were like, there's not flexibility on the price. However, we are looking to move to LA. Where in LA do you live? And it turns out they were only looking in the area that I lived in.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really crazy. I feel like it was very serendipitous. I don't know if you guys are universe girlies. I'm big on being a universe.
We're trying to be. We did a manifesting episode. We're trying to be more LA. We were not born and raised here, but we're trying to be more LA a little bit, I guess you could say.
I love that both of us at the same time answered, we're trying to be.
Yeah, we're trying.
The two East Coast gals. So
Tell us about the universe, Julia. We want to believe.
Yeah, I would take this as a sign too. By the way, what happened to you? I'd be like, well, I got to do it. That's
totally, totally. Yeah. So I've dipped my toe in it, and I'm like, okay, this is so serendipitous. I told them, I was like, do you guys want a home swap? They got interested. I learned that I had a mutual friend with them. The world is so big and small at the same time. And I just thought, this is my sign. I need to do this. This feels really right. I was feeling very stir crazy in LA. I the same routine all the time. I needed this big change. And so I decided to move. I dyed my hair brown. I turned 30. I quit my corporate job. Like, I did it all at once. But I feel I feel like it all happened for a reason, and I feel very at home and at peace here finally.
I have a question related to the universe.
Yes, please.
Are you at all familiar with Mystic Michaela?
No.
So I'm first of all putting this out into the universe that I would love to talk to Mystic Michaela because she's obsessed with her. But she reads auras.
Cool.
And I could talk for a very long time about her aura reading and how cool I think it is and blah, blah, blah. But basically everybody has like, I think at least two, sometimes three different color auras. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she talks about with people with a purple aura is this thing called a purple bomb, where they like blow a whole bunch of stuff up because they're like feeling stir crazy. And I'm just sitting here being like, I wonder if Michaela would say you're a purple.
She must. I feel like, Allie, did you like see her at an event and you like posted about it?
I've posted about her before. I first heard her on a podcast, and then I started following her and I listened to her podcast. It's like one of the only podcasts I've ever listened to, and I'm just fascinated by it.
Yeah.
So you might have seen me post it.
Yeah. Maybe I have a purple aura. Some may call it a midlife crisis. crisis. I call it a purple aura.
Well, okay, I don't know what aura this would be, but I was talking about it with a friend of mine who's also thinking about leaving LA. And, you know, I moved from New York to LA, so it's, and I said to her, I said, do you almost feel like it's harder for her and I to make a decision like this because we are the type of people, we will just make it work wherever we are. You know what I mean? Like, and that's probably cocky to say, but basically I never see myself going somewhere. Granted, probably there's a few places I would, but most places I'm like, I could make it work. I don't see myself kind of getting into like a spiral depression. Like, I don't know. I think it's like, I was like, what person, what aura is that? That you're like, oh, it's almost harder to make the decision because you're like, I never feel too bad in one place, if that makes sense, you know?
I think that's lovely.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be God's chosen one?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a personality thing. I don't know. Anyway, how long have you been in Austin? So you were supposed to do like a 3-month trial, right?
No, 6 months. So I've been here now like 5.5, 6 months. We were going to do 6 months and we both decided to extend. Honestly, I don't know if you felt this way, Erica, when you moved, but like I moved my car. I shipped 6 boxes. I'm like, I'm not doing that again. Like this, I'm very settled here. It feels like it would be a lot. But on to your point of you would be fine anywhere. Again, I'm going to sound very LA. I started working with a life coach this summer and she had me rate certain elements of my life. And like from 1 to 5, and I gave my home environment a 2, meaning like 1, 5 being the best and 1 being the worst.
Oof.
I was very unsettled where I was and I didn't feel good. I felt very trapped. I had no outdoor space. Here I have a yard and a jacuzzi and it's like so nice to have that for me. I like sitting outside in the sunshine. Like I really value that. And so today I would say like, I'm at a 4 or a 5 with where I live. And I think that's really important. I've been here for 5, 6 months and I think I can see myself here for a bit.
What was the extension? Like how much longer did you guys decide?
I think we'll definitely be through summer. If I'm honest, like truly, like I went to Mexico City this weekend and I know you guys are going or Allie, you're going.
Yeah.
Coming back from Mexico City, I'm having a little bit of like depression blues. I'm like, shoot, do I like Austin or do I like Mexico City? So this might just be like a me thing and a me problem. I think I very much value, and this is probably millennial, like I value novelty, international places, meeting new people, the dynamic of like an international city.
Yeah.
Austin's a little bit small town, but I think it's like wonderful that I get to have that flexibility of getting to travel and being in a home base that isn't as expensive as LA.
Fair. This is a side note question, but we get it all the time about like friendships and meeting new people when people move to new places. But do you have any advice for people that are starting somewhere new and what has helped you with meeting, you know, new friends and just building those types of relationships?
I get it all the time too. And I think that I'm almost a bad person to ask because it's something that comes very easily for me. Like it's, I think it's a gift I have and it's a privilege that I have. Obviously, you guys probably have this where you have social media platforms. People must write to you all the time. When I started posting about moving to Austin, I went on walks with people who wrote to me. Like if they looked normal, you know, like if they looked like they wouldn't kill me.
Or your DMs weren't crazy.
But I think it's being able to put yourself in situations that you may not be comfortable with. So like maybe not everyone is comfortable meeting a stranger, but like you have to put yourself in those situations. Some of my followers have told me about this platform called And the Table. It's like ampersand the table. They host these dinners for 6 women. I went to one of those. It's really cool. It's like at someone's house and they host a dinner. I went and took tennis lessons. Like I put myself in situations and if someone's like, I want to set you up on a friend date with this person, I say yes. It's for me, it's a matter of saying yes to all the things. And that's like my best advice that I can give.
I love that. And also the way that I feel like sounds like you're going into these situations, not only open to meeting people, but being kind of active about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm going to take these tennis lessons or I'm going to this dinner and like not afraid to be like, hey, I like you. We should hang out again after this. Can I get your number? Like putting yourself out there in that way.
Totally. I mean, we recorded and I was like, Erica, you live in LA. Like, we should totally get coffee. And we did. I think that you truly should go have coffee, go network with people, because like now that I know you guys are single, I'm like, oh, who do I know? You know, it's like there is that element of the networks becoming larger the more people you meet, and you never know what can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, I think I was almost lazier about making new friends the longer I was in one place, like New York. Like Allie probably is one of the only newer friends that I made in my like last few years in the city. And granted, it was also like COVID time, so that makes it a little harder. But because like once you get in your routine and you feel like you do find your home and you do build this friend group, then I feel like a lot of us too get into a rut about like, okay, but are we ever going to branch out of this group, until something big happens? Like you said, we were like, wait, everyone's in a relationship. Wait, people are leaving the city. Wait. Like, we almost wait for our home environment to be like disrupted in that way. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm like new to LA, I've even found myself being friendlier when I am back in New York or just traveling wherever I go for comedy. And I'm just like, oh, it's like, I feel like my personality has shifted a little, where I'm always like, hey, who's here? What's going on? Who wants to make a friend? You know?
Yeah.
I had that thought. It was my birthday this past weekend, Julia. And I had that thought at my birthday party, where like most of the people there were volleyball friends, but most of them I've known for quite a while. But one of my camp friends came that I went to adult summer camp over the summer. And like one of my camp friends came, and I was thinking that same thing, Erica, of like, I'm so like, I guess proud of myself maybe would be the right word, of that there are new friends here. Cause I think last year that wasn't the case, with the exception of you, Er.
Yeah. I think it's just routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whenever people are complaining about being single, I always wonder, like, who are the friends that you were hanging out with? Because I think that the single journey is going to be so much worse if you are hanging out with the same friends that have kind of like moved on in certain portions of their lives. I think it's really important as a single person to not just hang out around people in relationships. I think it makes it harder.
Or people who are like annoyed about being single, and you're talking, you're like in an echo chamber. I've had that, where there are like certain friends that I'm not super close to anymore, because I found that even though we were in quote unquote similar places in life, that actually hanging out with them was making me feel more down about where I was at, because they were so negative about it.
Totally. That's such a good point. That's so valid.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes when you meet someone new, you're almost less likely to talk about dating and relationships, because you're like, well, this is a new friendship. So maybe like that seems almost like a too personal thing. But at the same time, I'm like, that is the easiest way I think a lot of women bond,
great way
that
to bond.
I see. You know what I mean? Like it's either or with that.
Every dinner I'm at, because I'm like dating podcasts, like I'm like, oh, somehow the conversation pivoted to dating and relationships. So I don't know that I can agree there. Like I always bring it back.
It's an easy bonding point.
Yeah.
Or an easy thing to debate, you know?
Totally.
You're like, what do you guys feel about this theory? What do you feel about this? I've actually done that when like mixed conversations with men, because people just love to give their opinions. And you go, what do you think about this? Me and a friend discussed this the other day. What do you guys think? And everyone's like ready to take a side and go to debate town, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we've had debates on the pod about dating in different cities. And so I'm so curious to hear your perspective, Julia, having dated in LA and now in Austin. What do you think?
Yeah. So I have obviously dated in LA. Erica's dated in LA. Allie, have you dated in LA?
I've literally only ever dated in New York as an adult. Okay. Beyond like, I go home to visit my family in San Diego and like, you know, maybe I'll go on a date, but I wouldn't really count that.
I would say San Diego is even different. Like, I think that LA, the culture is very industry heavy, and it's a lot of who are you? What do you do? You know, what can you do for me, kind of? And I thought that it was like special if a guy drove like a nice car. I was like so lucky to be in his nice car. There were like elements of LA in that way. Ooh. And I got so burnt out on that superficiality. And I was just like, get me out of here. Got to go to the Texas. It's so funny, because the last two relationships I was in, the one guy was from Houston, one guy was from Dallas. I'm like, maybe this is, I got to go to Texas and find this Southern gentleman hospitality that is so frequent in Texas. So I got here and I was immediately served a TikTok that said Austin was like the second worst dating city in the US. And I'm like,
of course.
Fabulous. Great.
Everyone thinks that about their city though. Like everyone, when we did a survey when we did our dating in different cities, and we asked people, do you think your city is the worst? And the majority of people said yes, which like statistically mm-hmm. can't be true.
It can't be true for sure. I do think there is an element what everyone says about Austin is there's Peter Pan syndrome. Again, they say that probably about New York, LA.
Every city.
Every city. It is a college town. So I do think that there is like a lot of young women available to men. I think it's also a transient city. So situations are a bit more fleeting. I don't know that I'm like here. I've been here long enough to like make a really good judgment call. It's not an easy city to date in, I will say, though.
Okay. So you didn't move and immediately you were like, wow, this is so much better than where I was, essentially.
No.
Right.
No.
So it's like dating's hard. It's hard everywhere. Anything specific make it hard in Austin that stands out to you?
Well, there is like, I think I like right away, I was like, oh, everyone's new. And then I think like pretty quickly what happens is like you see pretty much everyone on the apps and then you gone on a couple dates and they don't work out. And then it's also a bit of a small town. So there are like a few places that people frequent. Like there's a lake that everyone walks. And so I like run into certain people that I went on dates with. And that's kind of weird and awkward. And I also think probably – maybe this is like too presumptuous of me. But I do create dating content on the internet. Like I'm sure that doesn't help my case of people wanting to go out with me.
Yeah.
I kind of heard it. We've experienced that. Yeah.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I think I'm like making my name known as like the dating podcaster in Austin who spills about her dates. So I don't know that that's, improving
my dating.
And it's
not going to be for everyone.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
Okay. So our general topic for today, I guess we got to get into this, is I've been seeing lately a lot of stuff about hyper independence, which we have yet to talk about on the show.
So in its extreme form, it's an extreme form of self-reliance where an individual compulsively avoids relying on others for support or assistance. And that can lead to challenges in maintaining healthy relationships, hinder emotional connections, teamwork, and seeking help when needed. And there's obviously there's a spectrum. There's like extreme hyper-independence that can be like trauma related, et cetera. And, you know, to your point, Erica, on the very other end of the spectrum, codependence.
And then let's say a couple signs of these hyper-independent things. So maybe this is you, maybe it's not, or maybe you don't know it's you. Okay. One is refusing to ask for help. That's a very common one. A reluctant to share personal information, inability to trust others, limited close relationships, resistance to allowing others to rely on them, experiencing burnout or stress when depending on somebody else. So
I feel like that last one is when I was reading through the signs really spoke to me, because like when we think about the spectrum, I'm like, well, I trust people generally and like I'm open with people and I share personal information, but it does stress me out when I'm depending on someone else.
Where do we all feel like we're sitting currently in our lives on the hyper independence scale? Because I feel like everybody experiences this at one point or another. Or maybe more frequently than others. But how are you guys feeling?
I think for me, I'm at like, so on the scale, I think I'm at a 7 of hyper-independence, I would say. Which is ironic because I am a recovering codependent.
Oh, interesting.
I girl boss a little too close to the sun, I think.
Do you think that it's like maybe when you're in a relationship, like there's like the extreme. So it's like when I'm sure for some people, when you're in a relationship is when the codependency would come out versus when you're single, it could like ping pong to the other side.
100%. And then like you maybe had, like, I think this summer when I dated that person, there were elements of it that were draining when you try to make it work that you're like, you know what? I don't want to do that again. That was exhausting. That was emotionally draining. I'm just going to go move to Austin and live my life. And so then you become hyper independent.
Well, you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Allie, where are you feeling on the scale?
I'm feeling pretty high right now. I think I've oscillate on the scale. I don't think I'm like always at a certain place, but I don't know, maybe an 8 if we're putting numbers on it. But I feel like right now, I've talked about, Julia, last week on the pod, I was talking about how I've been feeling, I've been feeling a very don't touch me vibe related to dating, where I just like want to be by myself, not by myself, but as I'm enjoying hanging out with my friends, but like I'm feeling really good being single and like doing my own thing and I'm enjoying going on dates, but I also like am having a hard time picturing them going anywhere. or like having a hard time picturing somebody in my life.
I can totally relate to that right now. We need to talk about it. I don't know. Is it because like summer is around the corner and it just feels like we're headed into this warmth and it feels like we're not nesting? Or is it at the point that we're at in our careers? Like, what is it?
For me, I think it's the latter.
Mm.
Like, I think I've been like, I know Erica's talked about like having moment times in her life when she's, you know, hustling and more career focused. And I feel like I'm in that mode a little bit right now, both career focused, but also in a bit of a, like working on different things within my career and different, you know, projects and feeling really fulfilled by a lot of that to the point where I'm like, it feels like enough right now.
Yeah. I mean, the people that I've interviewed on my podcast, like Evan Mark Katz, for example, like, I don't know if you guys have had him on, but like he mm-hmm. said to me, he does the thing where he's like, be the CEO of your own dating life. And he helps like mm-hmm. coach successful women with dating. And he's like, it can be both. Like, I'm trying to figure out for myself, because I'm saying the same thing. I just quit my corporate job. I'm trying to go all in with my podcast and social media content. Like, that is my focus. And that is, you know, that's where I'm at. Is it like a lack of wanting to be vulnerable if you're not leaving yourself open to the experience of meeting someone? Because everyone says like you meet someone when you're not looking. Mm-hmm. But I'm in the same boat as you. I have a feeling like my career is right now very important to me.
Yeah. Erica, how are you feeling?
So I feel like I used to operate very high on this and like steadily very high. And I think what you just said, Julia, touched on, I used to more have this thing in my head where it was like, oh, because I'm still at like this level of comedy and what I'm doing career wise and I'm not making a lot of money or like whatever, I thought like, oh, people aren't going to want to date you where you're at level wise. So dating was just so not a focus at all. And then come to find out, I was like, oh, no one cared. Like no one actually really cared that you weren't, you know, whatever level at your company and et cetera, et cetera. Like that's actually more of a female mindset with dating. Like I found like, oh, men actually don't care. But there was something in me being like, I think sometimes it gets that thought, like almost like I'm not good enough. Like I wouldn't date me, but just from a successful standpoint, being like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm a wonderful person. But in terms of like my level of success, it was like, oh, well, but who would want to be like serious with me with where my career is at right now? So that was like old me. And I always was just a workhorse, like in general, like I've always kind of just been a workaholic. So I'd say I used to operate at like a 9, like very badly. And my number one thing was probably not asking for help. I was very bad at asking for help. And I also didn't like asking for help. And it wasn't even out of fear that someone else couldn't do it. It just, I think, was like a control thing mm-hmm. or just a, I don't know, this pressure I felt on myself. There was almost like this girl boss pressure. It's like, no, you can do everything. And like confidence and like, you got it. But I eventually, I think probably honestly like a year and a half ago, I like kind of cracked. Where I was like, now I kind of am in a cycle of like hyper independence and then burnout.
Hmm.
That it's like, I will have a month that I have a ton and I'm killing it and I'm just go, go, go. And then all of a sudden it hits me and I just like then feel like the laziest person alive. And the hardest part about that is not mentally punishing myself when I have a lazy day. Because yeah. It's like the work we have to do is always there and always piling. And even when I have a busy day, it's hard to not have the mindset of like, you didn't do enough mm-hmm. and more have the mindset like, you got a lot done today. Great. Like another day is tomorrow. So currently I'm in kind of like a burnout and then hyper independent cycle. So I honestly can't really give a number to this, to my own question. But this is so sad. I bought a book about burnout when that happened and I was in a mess. Never found the time to read it. Too burnt out
to read the book about burnout.
Too burnt out to read it. Too burnt out to read my burnout book sitting on my nightstand. And then I would feel guilty that I'm not reading my burnout book that I just bought that I should put time for, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. I guess that's my own kind of like mental cycle. Cause especially with like boss lady rhetoric, we read this book that talked about like different personalities and like being boss lady. And what's interesting is that book was basically being like, boss lady, you're not going to end up with a boss man. And then part of me was like, shit, I guess I have to work even harder than I have been. Like, like I almost took it as like, so I need to boss lady times a million is what you're saying. Like, you know what I mean? Where your brain does that. I just was all over the place in my answer, but you get what I mean, I think.
Yeah. I've been in that back and forth before.
I think we all have. I think all of us who are ambitious and have grown up in this mindset of like an achievement-based mindset are like that. I wonder what you guys think. Obviously, it's like so trendy on social, but like stepping into your divine feminine.
Oh, divine feminine.
I've become spiritual and softer, but like I'm not taking ecstatic dance. You know what I mean?
What is ecstatic dance?
Is that the like, thing with like the like scarves?
Yes, exactly. You know what I'm talking about? Exactly. Yeah. It's like it's
what? That was on an episode like, of Sex and the City.
Correct. Charlotte was taking ecstatic dance and Carrie went with her. Yes.
And Miranda tried to do it. And she kept being like, swing your hips. Yeah. Like open your hips. And Miranda just was like, well, I guess I'm a man. I can't open my fucking hips.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like it's like looks like belly dancing, Allie. Like it's like to get kind of more into your body and become more feminine, but it's not really natural to me. Like that dynamic's not gonna, my partner's not gonna be a guy who wants a divine feminine. Like it's just not gonna happen.
This is this is what's hard, is feeling like hyper independence energy usually correlates with masculine energy, but then when it comes to dating, you sit there and go, I don't want to be the man, I don't want to come off as masculine energy, and then the whole time you're like, am I just denying that that's what my energy is and is what it is?
Yeah.
Well, the reason that I like made that noise when you mentioned divine feminine is because I feel like I that rhetoric, when I hear it, like when I see it on my TikTok algorithm, which like we were talking about this before we started recording. Luckily, I have managed to move myself away from a lot of that, the content that talks about that. But it's always just made me feel like the type of woman I am is not the right type. Yeah. That like when I hear that, that I don't think that it's all meant to do that. But like when I hear it in the past, I've heard like, oh, because I have, you know, more like stronger energy or, you know, more take charge energy or whatever that is, that like I'm not the divine feminine, meaning like the ideal woman, you know, guys aren't going to like that. Like that's what I heard in my past, mm-hmm. that I like have worked really hard to be like, fuck that.
Well, I think I think like a movement class of sorts, because I've gotten this advice with stand up to just like being a little looser on stage. It's like there's something with that where it's like, being a little bit more flexible with many things, I think, can come from like a class about movement. And let's not even make it about like divine feminine. Because I agree with you with the like feminine energy stuff. But it's funny, when I would hear it, I wouldn't hear it as like, I'm wrong. Like the type of woman I am isn't the right woman. But I would take it as like, the type of woman I am is less appealing to most men than a more feminine woman. And I do still believe that, honestly, to be true. That I'm like, yeah, if I was more that way, I think more men would be into me and attracted to me and maybe more pulled towards me in whatever way of the universe. But like, I don't really care.
Does that make sense? Those aren't the dudes for you.
Like, I've just hit the point, I'm like, I can't put up a front and be that thing that I just know that
that'd be terrible.
Yeah, totally. Or it's frustrating. How do you feel, Julie?
I think that like I've been grappling with this because obviously like once you're in your 30s and single, I'm sure people even who have come across our content are like, oh, those are those 30-year-old single women who can't find a man, whatever. Like, obviously, I've been bullied on the internet for it, and I've been called, like, too picky and whatever. I almost think it's because we, like, live in this, like, narrow culture. Like, maybe it's, like, American culture, because someone commented on one of my TikToks the other day, like, come to Europe. Like, you are not too old and too single. Like, in Europe, this is just this might be just, like, a societal and cultural thing in our society. Because like, sure, the finance bro on Wall Street won't like me because I'm not doing ecstatic dance and I'm not feminine and I'm not cooking him dinner. But like the Italian guy or whatever, the Danish guy might love that I've traveled and lived other places and I value new experiences and new connections. Like this might just be who we're being exposed to. And I don't know. I'm like really grappling with this because I just went to a wedding in Mexico City, and I saw so many of my parents' friends who are more traditional in culture, and like they were like, why are you still single? You're too picky, this and that. And I'm just like, I'm so tired of being gaslit and told that what I'm looking for doesn't exist, because I'd rather search for it instead of like settle for something where I feel deeply unfulfilled, because I've been in those relationships.
Who are these people out here in 2024 telling you that, like asking you why you're still single and telling you're too picky? What the fuck?
I know. But you guys, like, I thought this was a Russian Jewish thing. Matt Walsh and Candace Owens were saying that my life is meaningless because I don't have kids. So it's not just like, it's not just my parents' friends.
Yeah.
It's this exists.
Or it comes from a fear, because here's the truth. Do they really know what you're looking for? Probably not. Like, no, have you seen every man I've gone out with? No. Like, I'm totally not giving you a play-by-play update. Because if anything, that's when I get more frustrating is when I'm like, or frustrated is when I feel like right now, I feel like I have been the most open I've ever been in my last few years of dating about who I will go on a date with and who I will essentially go, I'll try to go get to know this person and see. And if anything, it's just very frustrating when you're like, I'm on this date and like, I'm getting like nothing from this person.
Yeah.
Like there is no personality here. There's no even like just communication wise where you're like, why is this a struggle? Like those moments are when I'm like, I want to bash my head against the wall, because you're sitting there going, here I am, I'm being open-minded. And to keep feeling like it's just like just a flat line date, like no highs, no lows. You're like, there's just nothing.
Yeah. And someone like yourself, who communication comes so naturally, you're a podcaster and comedian. What a shame would that be to settle for a guy who can't even communicate with you on a date? Like
on a first date.
And that's what society is telling us, that something you value so much, it's literally your career path. You have to. Well, you know, give him another chance. Give him a second shot. It's like, well, we couldn't speak.
Yeah. Or even then I'll be willing. I'll be like, maybe people are nervous on the first date. Okay. But if I don't hear from that guy again, I'm like, all right. But I hate that. Yeah. I more get like, you're going to be with the quiet guy. And I'm like, because I have to do all the talking for both of us. Like, I don't enjoy being on a date doing all the talking. I don't know who thinks I would, you know.
Right.
Well, totally. Let me tell you, I've been out with people who seem to. So they're out there.
Sometimes it's nice. I'm like, well, I could just take a break. I could just sit here.
I could just watch you talk. Perfect.
You know what I mean? Like you're like, I'll get you going. I'll take a break here. A mental break. It's almost a chicken or egg conversation sometimes, where it's like, would I be, quote, this hyper independent if I, you know, wasn't like single for this long? Like there's a weird thing where you're like, okay, if I live in a city and men don't really settle down till, let's say, age 35. So when I was being super hyper independent self at 26, 27, it's kind of like, well, I didn't really have a choice. Because when I hear the shit that's like, men want to be the hero, men want to come in and be the man and save you, I'm at the point I'm like, well, then fucking save me. Do it. Come on in. I would love some help. Like, I'm finally at the point I'm like, I actually would love some help. You are welcome. You are welcome to come through and help. You know, so it almost feels like you sit there going, well, I have to do this, because if no relationship is coming, like, what's my other option?
Yeah. I think right now what I'm focused on, and this woman came on my podcast last week, Jen Teplin, and she basically kind of hammered into my head that the life vision, the life goals have to really be aligned. And I think for me, I don't want the traditional white picket fence thing, and a lot of people do. I can see myself being with someone where we value moving to different cities, or we spend time traveling. Like, that's very important to me. And I think that that's something that I got very clear on. And I think that once you have similar life visions, that's the sweet spot that, like, I wasn't paying attention to before. I was just like, oh, the qualities he possesses. But the life vision thing has become really important for me, especially like as I'm someone who I'm shifting where I live. Like, Erica, even you, it's like, where do you want to end up? Like, you kind of need to figure that out when you're dating. And so I think that that is what I'm focused on right now when I like meet someone. Do our lifestyles align in that way?
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I've dated a few people recently where that didn't line up. And I think that it was okay. Like, I wasn't like, you know, upfront, like, all right, no, I'm cutting this off. Like, we can't date anymore. But like, the thing that I was kind of thinking about in the beginning ended up being the thing that wasn't compatible in the not even long term, in the like short to medium term. I really like the way you're phrasing it as a life vision, though, because it feels like something that it's not set in stone. Like, you're still authoring it together, but you have somewhat of a similar framework about it.
Yeah. If I met someone who was like, I want to have a baby right now, I would be like, I can't give that to you. And I, nor should I rob you of that either. Like, I met a guy here who was, is like, I cannot wait to have kids. And I was like, I can't relate. And I, and he was surprised. He was surprised because I'm 30 and I should be that way. Like, but the shoulds is what messes us up. Yeah. The shoulds is what messes us up.
He was surprised. Let's put it that way. Yeah. He was surprised. Maybe.
Totally. Totally.
I'm 37 and I would have the same reaction.
Yes.
Well, I'm curious, since you say not white picket fence, what is your vision right now for like what you would want in the future?
For with a partner, or like, what do I want my life right now? Because I think the
Let's say with a partner, because I guess in terms of like, we're on a date, we're trying to look for people we align with, because that is my biggest challenge with dating in LA, is people being like, do you see yourself staying here? And I'm like, to be honest, I don't know. I'm new. Like, if my career goes the way I want it to go and I have success here, then I would gladly stay. But anyway, sorry, back to you. What would you say is your vision?
No, that's okay.
If it's not traditional.
I think that I am someone who values novel connections, novel experiences. And so I would want my partner and I to be able to get to do those things, whether that means we travel, we host dinner parties, we attend new things that are maybe not or like outside of our comfort zone. We do novel things. Like, that for me makes me feel like I'm not in this. Some people like love comfort. My sister, for example, lives in San Diego, has two kids, has a husband. She like loves her local grocery store, her friend group. Like, she loves it all being the same. She loves her routine. And I get it. Some people really, really enjoy that. I'm someone for whom that feels claustrophobic. And so I really need to find someone. And when I tell certain people this who believe I'm too picky, they're like, you're never going to find that. But if I am this person, and you know, and I connect with these people in friendships, why can't I find that in a partner?
Also, let's say, let's just for argument's sake say you never will find that person, right? Yeah. Like, in that scenario, if you feel claustrophobic, smothered, like terrible by that other view, like let's say we're living in a world where it's binary, where you can either not find somebody or find somebody who like puts you in this box, it sounds like you would be miserable in that box.
Totally. Totally. And okay, fine. Like, listen, there's a human need for connection. We all want to partner up. Like, that is just like a human need. So of course I want love. Like, I want to find that. But I look at people like Brittany Allen, 30 Waves, who like travels so much and has this wonderful career. I look at her life and I'm like, that is amazing. And I would maybe
totally
take that, knowing that I didn't find my partner, rather than being claustrophobic and maybe divorced 10 years down the line.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes like obviously like we have routine that we like, but always like routine has to change sometimes whether we want it to or not, right? But then I feel like also if you want, I don't want to say chaos, but it's the only word I could think of that's the opposite of routine. But if you want more variety, let's say in your life, it's also like the variety thing can change. So it's like you could have a partner and you love traveling. And then I don't know if you want kids, but let's say you do. Then you hit a point, you have kids. And it's like, well, maybe now your new variety is just all the things that come with kids, you know? So like now that you have the kid, you're like, oh yeah, we go to the same grocery store, we go to the same restaurants, but that doesn't matter because everything else is so not routine. And so like, we're going to take it day by day, that you're like, oh, I actually now am getting like that fulfilled side. And then when you're out of the cycle with kids though, right? What would you probably want to go back to? The exploring thing that you had, or now your kids are old enough that they can do an exploring life with you and things like that.
Totally. And I think my hypothesis is that maybe you find that person who sees you and is willing to accept your need for novelty and travel and spontaneity. And once you get that need met, you're like, I don't even need the spontaneity and travel so much. I just kind of need someone to see me and accept me and be willing to do those things with me. And and then you build your life together in a way that's comfortable for you both.
I was thinking about this. So I'm nearing the end of a Vanderpump Rules binge.
Yes.
It's been a journey for me for like several months. I'm finally like almost caught up to current season. And I was watching an episode last night pre-Scandoval, but like Ariana and Tom Sandoval were having a fight. Mm-hmm. And they were fighting about the definition of quality time, where Ariana was saying that for her, quality time is like going on a walk around the neighborhood together, sitting on the couch and watching Love Island, like those types of things.
Yeah.
And Tom Sandoval was like, for me, quality time is going hang gliding and taking mushrooms and watching the sunrise. That's a direct quote. And both of them thought that their definitions of quality time were capital T, the definition of quality time.
Yeah.
And I think that like that really speaks to what you're saying about just having a mismatch of the life vision. I've been thinking about this since I watched that episode last night. So it's so funny you brought that up.
Yeah. I hope I don't butcher this, but there was like this quote from Gottman Institute, and it's like basically like if I said, look how beautiful that day is outside the window, you want your partner to say, wow, that is a beautiful day, instead of your partner saying like, yeah, you know, and like cutting you off. You just want to be like in that situation. What Tom Sandoval wanted Ariana to say is like, oh, I can see how that's fun. And he wanted, she wanted him to say, oh, I can see how that's fun. You know, you just have to hear each other's perspectives.
Is that the trend people were doing, like, oh my God, look at this bird outside, babe?
Yes,
like, exactly that.
Seeing
trend.
If their partner cared to even just hear their story about the bird.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were like these adorably sweet videos of like men on TikTok, because it was like mostly women doing this trend with their like men partners, of these men being like so invested in this story that the woman only made up for the TikTok video. But then they're like, that is so cool, babe. What a bird.
No, I saw a viral clip. It was the grandmother in the show Blackish being interviewed. And she talked about why she divorced her last husband. And it was something like, it literally was a tree or something she saw that she liked. And she was talking, and she said the person she was with was just so dismissive of her joy about the thing. And she was like, oh, don't you bring my joy down. Like, I don't care if you don't even care about this thing, but don't bring my joy down like that. And so it's similar when you're like, I'm so excited to tell you this thing. And it is almost like also like if your child came to you and was like, I'm so excited I did this thing at school. And you're kind of like, yeah, that's great.
Totally.
Like how hurtful that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, that thing? Silly.
Yeah. I was going to bring up something a little bit unrelated, but you were talking about the guys who are being so cute on these TikTok videos. You know, what's like irking me right now is that every man is referring to themselves as a golden retriever. Have you guys been noticing that?
I've seen that on dating apps.
What is this and why is this happening and can we stop?
Have you seen the TikTok trend of it? I think that's where it's
golden retriever
from.
Black cat?
It's like, this is my golden retriever husband. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
And it's like, it does come from a very sweet place because it is the men that are invested in the bird.
Yeah.
Like it's the men that are like just into what their partner is into because their partner is into it, or who like come home and are so excited,
right?
Yeah, yeah, they're excited about everything. They're like, come home and they're so excited to see you, like literally golden retriever energy. But I have seen this translating over to dating apps, and it's becoming the new like doesn't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah, I know the best spot for tacos. Yeah, I'm really tired of it. Yeah.
Wait, can I ask you though, do you think you would like a golden retriever energy or you wouldn't?
I would hate. I was actually talking to my friends. I was talking to my friends about it.
I feel the same way. I'm like, I'd be like, can you calm down for 5 seconds?
We were having a conversation. It was like 10 of us girls, and we were like, what is the opposite of a golden retriever? And my friend was like, a Rottweiler. I'm like, no, a Rottweiler sounds like kind of intense, but they're like, no, a Rottweiler.
So orange cat.
But well, that's
I've
like,
seen the trend. It's black cat girlfriend, golden retriever boyfriend. That's the trend I've seen on TikTok.
Oh,
which are like complete opposites.
I don't know. Whatever. I need to find my dog breed equivalent, that because I hate silly. Like I don't like that. I don't like that guy.
It's very
Allie? Do you like the golden retriever?
I like silly.
Okay.
And I like enthusiasm.
Okay.
But I think too much of it. Like, too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Totally.
Well, too much of
anything. So maybe well, yeah, that's true.
Because it almost seems like, maybe does it touch on almost like toxic positivity people? Where it's like, oh, you're just, it's just, everything's wonderful, everything's, where you look at them and you go, just tell me something you hate. just like, tell me something you hate. I like want to see you in a bad mood one time just to know that you're real, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Or like we had Matchmaker Marie on the pod a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about how somebody reacts when you're having a bad day, a good day, etc. I am curious how the golden retriever guy reacts to a bad day. Like if they're, I'm sure they're supportive, but are they like, it's going to be okay? Like, yeah, everything's great. Or will they like sit in it with you? Yeah. Sometimes you want someone to wallow with you and hate, yeah, something.
Yeah. My therapist once told me, she was also like a couples counselor as well. She said that the thing you're most attracted to in the beginning in your relationship is ultimately what leads to the demise.
Yes.
Why are therapists so smart? I hate that.
Why have I never had a smart therapist is my question. I've never gotten any of these fucking gems from a therapist. My God.
Do you know why? She doesn't take insurance. That's why.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's why.
That's because she's smart.
Yeah.
That's why.
Out of pocket. Totally. Maybe.
That's so true, though. That's, yeah, actually one of the things that I liked the most about the publicist when we first started dating was how silly he was. And it was something that annoyed the fuck out of me by the time we broke up.
That makes sense.
Isn't that interesting?
Too silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's similar to that quote. It's like the red flags, the reason you break up, red flags are there in the beginning too. So not even a personality, yeah, thing. It's like other stuff that's like, oh no, you just liked them so much that you didn't see it.
Yeah.
And that would end. You're like, oh yeah, that did happen on our like third date. You're like, that was, yeah, it. I'm
like, oh great.
Anyway, we did get a couple questions here about hyper independence that I feel like might be nice to wrap up with. You know what? Here's one I think is perfect for you, Julia, since you are more of a universe gal and from LA. Okay. We'll start okay with this. All right. Mantras to tell yourself when your tendency is to rely on your hyper independence. So can we create some type of mantra here for people to say or remind themselves?
I guess it's like, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay. And I think if like we're hearing you, Erica, like you said that you were burnt out from not asking for help. So it's like, what can I do to help myself today? And it's like figuring out what are the preemptive measures that will help you avoid burnout. And for me, from my life coach, she gave me a nourishment menu and she was like, create a list of 5 things that you can turn to that will like help turn your day around. For me, it's like going on a walk outside, going to a yoga class, meditating, listening to a podcast. What are those things for yourself? So I don't know if that's a mantra, but like ways to help yourself.
The first thing you said, I think, is a nourishment
menu.
Yeah, I like it too. I use it all the time now. I love the nourishment menu.
My therapist actually gave me a couple suggestions because I've talked to her about hyper independence before, and even without even using that phrase. But one of the things that she has said to me is that for me, at least, it's really important to, the way that she put it is, honor the ways that hyper independence has served me, so that I'm not just trying to go to like, I need to ask for more help. I can be like, It has been really great that I've been able to do all this stuff by myself. And like, it has served me really well. But where are some places where it hasn't served me as well? Like, where are some places where it's not working as well? And then be able to take baby steps towards that. I'm like a very linear, logical person. And so that has helped me kind of like take steps towards it.
I like that.
I was going to say maybe another one is something along the lines of like doing it all. Like almost... All right. Correct me if I'm wrong. If this is too pessimistic of a mantra, Julia, but almost literally saying you can't do it all. Like you can't, yeah, like almost like accept that you can't. And so that way you don't. Do you know what I mean? Like the people that I feel like that's like the say yes people where they like can never say no, like that, yeah, type too. Or I don't know. Maybe I just messed this up. We had a good vibe going. Okay.
No, I like it. I like it. It's like, it's giving yourself grace. I also like that you're like, I've become the universe person. Like all of a sudden you're like,
you're my
Julia, Julia, hear me out.
Tell us about the universe, Julia.
You're born and raised in the universe land. So.
Something that's helped me, I think, is to remind myself that I don't want to do it all. Because when I hear you can't do it all, my little mind is immediately like, well, yeah, I can.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not good. It's not good. Yeah. And it leads to burnout. It leads to bad moods. It leads to all sorts of things. But like, I can. And so when I hear, so like I've tried to reframe it for myself as like, I don't want to. Like that sucks.
Yeah.
Right. Or you don't have to. You don't have
or
to.
Or you don't have to.
You could. Yeah, but you don't have to.
You yes. could, but you don't have to. And then it feels like a choice. Then it's like,
right.
I could do it. I could, but I'm choosing mm-hmm. not to.
Yeah. That's the mantra. We narrowed it down. We drilled it down.
Okay.
You don't yeah. have to.
It's okay to ask for help, and you don't have to do it all. How about that?
You don't.
Take that mantra yeah, home with you.
Have you experienced, or have either of you, like in trying to ask for help more, or delegate more? I know, Erica, you've mentioned wanting to like outsource more. Like, what are some ways that we think we can brainstorm to like take some baby steps towards that? Like, highly unlikely that we're going to go from like being hyper independent one day to like letting everybody handle things for us the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think the most basic one is, what's a problem or thing that I can throw money at? Because yeah. that's step one. What's something I can throw money at? And then step two is, can I afford to throw money at it? Or finding something you can afford to help you with that thing.
I agree.
I feel like that's generic enough. My work is very specific of things I need help.
But, yeah. And I think it's like knowing what you're really good at and knowing where you could use that help. Like, I don't edit my podcast. I'm very not technical in that regard, but I love creating content and I like, you know, producing the content and doing guest outreach, but I'm not technical. So it's like knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses.
Yeah. I think for me too, not only knowing my strengths, but also knowing what I don't like doing.
Yeah.
More so than other things, because even mm-hmm. if I can do that thing and I'm like decently good at that thing, it's going to take me a lot longer and also take me a lot more mental energy to do it. An example of that is cleaning my apartment. I hate it.
Yeah.
I can do it. I know how to clean. I'm not bad at it, but I hate it and I put it off and it drains me. And to use your word, Erica, that is something I can throw money at and have yes. put in my budget for a long time now.
That's actually an example I was thinking of, Allie. Because I find cleaning like therapeutic in a weird Ooh. Way. But it's for me, it's cleaning, putting together furniture. It's doing something with my hands. I think like mm-hmm. I just enjoy not being on a screen, not being on a phone, not watching TV. There's something to like, I actually don't have a dishwasher in LA, but like I weirdly kind of like it. That at the end of the day, it's like I'm doing dishes. I'm just like, I don't know. There's something weirdly soothing about it to me. So I might
I'm
be
so happy for you that. For that. I'm really glad.
I'm with Allie on this one, but Erica, this is making me realize that you need to be with like a man who uses his hands. Like, you have to be with
Probably.
Like, yeah, that's so yeah. clear. I love Probably. That for you.
I don't hate that. I'm with it.
I can find someone who like loves to cook, but doesn't want to do the dishes. And then you'll have like a great little teamwork yes. situation.
Yeah, that's fine by me. But see, I also do like to cook. So I'd be like,
true.
I need a. I guess we all need a good teammate, is what we're trying to say. but that's also very similar to like know your weaknesses and strengths. Is like when you're on a team, it's like you're basically told what your role is. It's like, this is what you're good at. You're going to play this position. This is what you're good that's at. So true. You're at that position. But it's like easier when someone else tells you than when you're by yourself, being like, okay, what do I struggle with?
I've never thought about that with a sports analogy. I love that.
Oh, I'm always sports analogy. I was going to say the thing about asking for help that's really hard, maybe a baby step for that is reframing it like, ask somebody for advice on this thing.
Hmm.
Like, what's something, you know, that you're like, I don't really know too much about this. Maybe I could be better, because I've done that. And that actually just made me realize two things. Like you said, Allie, one, I don't think I'm going to like doing this thing. Like having someone sit down, show me how to edit this or captions or whatever. And I sit there and I'm learning it and I'm just like, I don't think I want to fucking do this. Right? Like, but you sit there going,
like, I could learn this.
I could. I'm learning it right now, but I don't want to. Like, you know, like something like that where you go, all right. And asking for advice, like you essentially are getting help. But I don't know, weirdly in my brain, it like doesn't feel that way.
By the way, on top of that, to go back, like I feel like that's a nice way to connect with someone and to like build a friendship is to ask for help. Like, you know, so I think that's asking for help from someone you admire, like how they do that thing, is a great connection piece.
Yeah. Because it's like, we can all recognize like you could do the thing, but you also can recognize that someone does it better than you, whatever totally. The thing is.
So, Julie, we were talking earlier about how you're a recovering codependent. Yes. And like also how that might show up differently when you're in a relationship versus not. Have you thought about how to navigate that as you like are dating and potentially entering into another relationship of, you know, what that will look like or what you want it to?
Yeah, like how to avoid my codependency flaring up.
Right, but also balancing it with like the independence that you've gained being single.
Totally. Oh gosh, that's a really great question. I think that it's, first of all, I think like it to anyone who it's available to, a therapist or a third party that you can like come to kind of figure this all out in the process is very helpful. But I think that it's having open and honest communication and talking to someone about like, these are things that I've struggled with in the past. These are some things that I'm weary of. And like how someone reacts to that will be really telling for whether they're a really great, secure partner for you. And so I think like that's probably what I'm looking for. And that's how I'll handle it. It's hard to like know in hindsight, right? Yeah.
I think sometimes it's like a self-protecting thing. Like it almost when you're hyper independent, you almost navigate from the idea a little bit that like this person is eventually going to leave. Because you're making it that you're not depending on them for anything. So like if they leave, you're like, okay, everything else stays the same, you know?
Yeah, it's a safety thing.
Right. Let's even make it a dumb thing. Like, let's say you use their Netflix and you use your Hulu and then their HBO.
Yeah.
Like it's such a dumb example. It maybe isn't great, but the idea is almost like, oh, we break up. Now I lose those. And now I have to navigate like replacing them or getting my own. And it's like, now I have more work to do as opposed to like, if they all were mine, it all was my Apple TV. It's all my stuff. There's kind of a protectant in that where you're like, okay, so if they leave though, it's like everything else is going to just like run as is.
Yeah. And also feeling like I saw when I was kind of like researching this topic, a lot of talk online about not only that protective measure, but also that it's like, if I don't delegate, if I don't give up control on these things, then I can control the outcome of something.
Yeah.
That like, if I'm controlling how things are going, then I'm also going to control the outcome and I won't be disappointed by what happens. When like, that's not even true. I could do something myself and totally fuck it up.
I think we all know that trying to control the outcome has never served any of us.
No.
It's almost like, just allow it to be what it'll be. Kind of try and communicate and navigate it in, as best you can. And whatever the outcome, like, you know, you'll survive.
Absolutely.
Wait, I got to add this question then. That was a small one someone submitted too. So how would you say, as hyper-independent women, you do receive love from people? Or what are the ways like someone really can show you love? Because I think with that hyper-independent, maybe someone is more hesitant to do like an acts of service because if they know you like to control everything, they're like, well, I don't want to fuck it up, you know? So what do you think?
I love an acts of service, even though I'm hyper-independent. Like, I don't know, even like in my long distance relationship, in the last relationship, he would like come fly. And that was an act of service for me because I was like, obviously, like he was a surgeon. It was like hard for him to come. I was like accepting of that and very like thankful, grateful for it. But are you asking the question of like, what if you are hyper independent and you're not great? How should you receive love?
Let's almost frame it like this. Let's say, we have a guy friend who's dating a woman who's very hyper-independent. Mm-hmm. And they're asking us, like, I want to show her I love her, but I feel like no matter what I do, it's like wrong, or I'm not sure how to. Because it feels like, where can I find ways to kind of insert myself in their life? Because that's usually the symptom of hyper-independence is like, there's no room for you. I got everything. Yeah. I'm in control of everything. Because I actually like acts of service too. And now that we've been doing this episode, I'm like, oh, I think I give off, though, that I don't want acts of service. That, like, I got it. When really I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that
I'm
is
not
the thing
an acts
I do
of
want.
Service gal.
You're not, Allie.
Mm-mm. I like receiving gifts, and I think one of the reasons is because, and gift I define super broadly, like it's not always like a literal present. But I think one of the ways that I define it is something that's not necessary or something that I wasn't already doing, is what I kind of think about as a gift, and that's one of the reasons I like it so much because it's like, somebody went out of their way to think about me and give me something or do something for me that was like not a normal part of my life, which I think when I think about acts of service, I more think about stuff that was like already happening. That doesn't have to be true, though, I guess.
No, I hear you, because it was like all on their accord of like what they interpreted you would enjoy. I think for me, what I would enjoy is someone asking me like, how can I be helpful to you to take something off your plate? Like just asking that and having the like wherewithal to be considerate enough would be like an act of service for me. And obviously like the action would be important as well, but just someone asking that communicate for me, like I love communication, that would be important.
Maybe it's because that takes away us having to ask for help.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Help me help you. Totally. Help me help you. So now you're actually helping me, but really it's just to return help you.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's how you flip it on its head. Yeah. How can I help you?
Yeah.
Because it's funny you say like acts of service, Allie, but like I don't think you'd mind. I think you would appreciate if like someone did the dishes in your sink or put it in the dishwasher.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? But it's a game of like, what are you okay with me touching versus not? And so the safe bet you're like is go to a different love language in this corner.
Yeah, or just clean. You want to clean? Great.
Make something cleaning. I don't know. Do you guys have any more thoughts on this topic? This is a fun episode.
It was fun. No, I think we covered a lot of good stuff.
I think so. I mean, I really think we're going to find our people, you guys. Like, I think we have a really good sense of self, and I don't fear this hyper independence is going to hinder us.
I agree. I'm with you.
Yes. And again, Julia has a podcast called Pretty Much Done. Go check that out. Check out our episode. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Julia, it was always great to talk to you.
Thank you guys for having me on. It's always so fun. We're so aligned about so much. I loved it.
I know. Fun conversation. And we'll talk to everybody else next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.